On Monday, August 8th, Tall Can Audio hits 1,000 episodes.
Wait, that's still on? Who could possibly still care?
And the gang is all here to celebrate.
It's euphoric. It's got to be close to nirvana. It's outstanding.
For the first time ever, Maddie, Michaela, Rob, and Matt are all live in studio together.
It's happening, you guys! It's happening! Oh, my God, guys! Oh, my God! I wish you all were here!
Is this likely to go well?
Just check my notes here. No!
At least it will make a lot of noise.
Boom. Here comes the boom.
1,000 pods and 1,000 pints.
I don't think I've ever been as proud in my entire life.
TCA 1000 drops Monday, August 8th, wherever you find low-quality podcasts.
Fuck, it's out of control. Shit.
How's it going, everybody? How's it going, Rob?
You know what? I find it hard to believe that it's likely never been better.
I also find that hard to believe.
I'm looking at you, and I find that very hard to believe.
Unkept beard.
Yes.
Just
gross appearance.
Yeah, no good, man. Kind of.
Before you get started.
Been a busy week, yeah.
I enjoy a little of the sports trivia, and I know we've touched on this before.
Oh, because, see, that's funny. I got one for you, too. I hope it's not the same one.
Okay.
Hit it.
So, the idea is, this comes from a morning show where they do a 61-second shootout.
Yep.
Which is fine. A lot of them are layup questions, you know, who's the starting quarterback for the Minnesota Vikings, right? It's sort of stuff that's relevant and in the news and yada, yada. But they throw the odd curve in, right? And so you got to get seven right
in 61 seconds.
In 61 seconds, which seems like, and honestly, I crush the home version. But I have no doubt, like I can probably count on two fingers the number of times in all the past years that I have not got my seven. But I have no doubts whatsoever that once the mics went live and I'm on radio going out to the
everybody's
masses,
everybody's listening.
My head gets squeezed, and some of the shit, like, who won the Stanley Cup last year?
Right.
You go,
tell you the 98 third string goalie for the set. But
see, this is it, right? And you sort of go, wow, that thing is just gone. It's escaped.
Right.
So the question was, and we'll see what you can do, there are only three current NHL teams who have made the playoffs 4 years in a row.
Pittsburgh Penguins.
Correct.
Washington Capitals.
Incorrect.
Okay.
Yeah, see, to me, that's not a question you ask when you have maybe...
Boston was out. Rangers were out last year. Man.
Tampa was
Columbus?
Out 2 years ago.
No, Columbus hasn't been good that long. Anaheim.
That's what I said. Anaheim is one of them.
Didn't San Jose miss?
San Jose missed.
All right. St. Louis?
Western Conference team in the same division as St. Louis.
Nashville?
Nope.
Well, Chicago missed. Winnipeg's missed. Minnesota. Fucking Minnesota.
There's your three teams. And to me, that's not a question you ask. To me, yeah, you can work your way through it and you go, or maybe you can't.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's sort of out of left field. You're like, what?
Right.
I don't have any time to devote to that. Gone. Pass.
Yeah, I can't be worried about this shit. Because you would. You'd sit there. That's a three-parter, man. That's tough.
Yep.
So let me hit you with this.
Give me one of three. How about that?
Yeah. There you go.
I would have went with Washington, by the way, just off the top of my head.
Yeah. I'm surprised, but There it is. This should be fairly obvious right now.
Pressure's on.
Down the road, it would be a good trivia question. Only one player in MLB history has ever hit home runs for three different teams in one division in one season. One player, home runs for three different teams in the same division in one season.
In one season?
Yep. You're right. I shouldn't have laid down that it was pretty obvious right now.
Yeah, well, yeah, that's okay. Once you said baseball, it sort of gets further from my wheelhouse. Yeah, I don't know. What do you got?
Jose Bautista, brief appearance in Atlanta back in the spring, spent some time with the Mets and is now with the Braves. Sorry, with the Phillies. So There's your three different teams. He went yard earlier this week.
I did not know that he was now with the Phillies.
Yeah, well, one of those blockbuster trades for a home run king, right? That just flew right under the radar.
Well, I guess once they couldn't have got Jones out of Baltimore, they...
Right. Actually, and I was...
That's a nice bit of trivia, though.
Yep. One other quick thing on baseball, just because it made me laugh, was the Cleveland Indians, much heralded, now the home of Josh Donaldson. We'll probably touch on him a little bit later on. Have only got wins, despite leading their division by a handsome margin, have only gotten wins over two teams, winning records over two teams outside their division, Texas and Baltimore. They have gotten smashed around by literally anyone who is any good. So, kind of funny there. That.
Yeah, they're on the outs. I think any aspirations for them seem...
Well, I think they're going to take their division.
Oh, for sure.
But they're going to get smacked around by the Red Sox, probably.
Well, if you look, it doesn't matter. Astros.
Even the Yanks.
Red Sox. Yeah, I think for sure they are a distant fourth on the AL depth chart.
So Monday night at 10 o'clock, when all reputable sports organizations do their big press releases, the Ottawa Senators, and maybe before we go any further, I should mention that I'm really excited for the season to start when the Senators will become irrelevant by the, you know, end of the second or third week. But for some reason, through the offseason, they just keep stumbling and doing shit.
They keep sports talk radio in business.
Honestly. Eugene Melnyk, the owner of the team, very popular here in town.
CEO, don't worry, and sure. Governor, honestly, he's seen his little sign off.
General manager.
Yes.
Basically.
Number one fan.
He does a sit-down interview conducted by what we would definitely call a third-pair defenseman on his team.
For sure.
Not a star. Not even a... I don't want to say not popular. I don't know. Maybe Mark Borowiecki is popular.
Well, he is popular, yeah. But it's due to his... robust style of play and his home address.
Right. He's a local boy.
Yep.
No surprise that it wasn't going to be Carlson, wasn't going to be Stone, wasn't going to be Duchesne.
Dutchie.
Just because we don't know what the future holds for them, although we might know.
Yeah, I think we do.
But maybe, a Pageau, maybe a Zach Smith, right? Somebody that is a slightly bigger name, you would have thought.
Pageau, French guy first, Zach Smith. Not even English is a first language, I don't think. So
for Zach Smith?
Yeah, no, it is, but I'm just saying he's one of those low-reacting Western guys.
All right. So this is supposed to be like a parody of one of these TSN sit-downs. And instead of James Duthie, instead of Bob McKenzie, he always does his preseason things, whatever. It's Mark Borowiecki.
Borowiecki.
All right. We'll go with that. He's going to conduct the interview to his team's owner in, I guess, what is supposed to be a PR move. We're going to talk to the fans. We're going to tell them that everything's fine and we're excited for a new season, all this sorts of stuff. They're sitting weirdly close together, which was odd. And there's
like two buddies at the bar or something, right? It's like...
But like that move that, and I know you're a fan of it, but if you're sitting at the corner of the bar, you can almost like reach out and put a hand on a knee or something, right? Like it's not with your buddy probably, but
yeah,
it's always nice, man.
I am a fan of that, but
not with Eugene.
Yeah.
There's also a pile of jerseys hanging in the background, and Melnick himself is wearing a jersey. And it's not a current jersey. It's one circa whatever they were wearing, kind of 07 to 2011. So while he's barking at everyone else to get out and buy merch and support the team, he can't
be bothered. You know what? I didn't even notice that, really.
Yeah, it's not current. And I mean, now we're nitpicking, but that's what we're going to do here a little, because this is a fucking clown.
Well, it's a little fireside chat thing they got going there, and it's like totally staged, like the royal Christmas greeting or something.
Right. Yeah, no, Borowiecki is not asking his own questions. He has clearly been provided it. And again, I'm fascinated how he ended up being the guy that was, you know, handpicked to go and do this.
Is it local guy?
Yeah.
Loves the team, bleeds for the team. You know he wants to do nothing but the best for the team.
Yeah.
And, you know, hey, Mark, will you do this for us? Yeah, you'll do this for us, right?
But there was almost an element of, Mark, blink twice if you're being held against your will.
Yeah. Like. Yeah. No, okay. And this is what I'm saying is you're like, yeah, you'll do this, you know, because his hold on us on a lineup spot is tenuous at best.
Yeah.
The only thing that really guarantees him is that some buffoon gave him a 2-year extension. Now, I'm all right with it. They got to make a floor somehow.
Sure, whatever. He's a.
But yeah, they're paying him, $1.5 million, $2 million for his number 6 spot on the on the decor.
All right. So we're gonna play this a little for you, and we'll just kind of stop as we go. It's about 5 minutes long, but we're going to cut it up here and just talk about some of the issues that arise here that this man is either oblivious to or hoping everyone has forgotten. Or
to me, I can't believe, before we listen to it,
yeah,
how continually tone deaf that this organization is. You have no idea what's happening out there, or you just choose to blissfully ignore it.
You just hired a new marketing team. And there's no way this was their idea. Like, to put the owner out there that everyone is sick of. This was him. This is his idea. This is, I'm going to talk to the fans. And you just know that this marketing staff and the social media people who are going to be responsible for posting it or whatever are going,
how about their PR? God,
just please don't.
How about their PR crisis management team? Which is the new whatever he is, COO.
Yeah.
Anyways, cue it up and let's let people hear it.
We'll see how far we get before take issue with something. Go ahead. So the first voice you're going to hear here asking the question is Mark Borowiecki. The second one, the more kind of quieter, calmer, whatever you want to call it, is Eugene Melnick. Go
ahead. Yeah, so let's talk hockey here. You know, the season's coming up quick. You know, we got the golf tournament on Wednesday. Report on Thursday.
Yeah.
What's the plan here?
Okay. See, I'm already. What's the plan here? Like, what are we fucking doing? I have no idea. You went into this summer promising a season of change or an off season of change, and we're going to fit. Nothing has happened. Nothing good. No turnover. No what.
And hey, I think you're forgetting Paul Carey and Michael Bodker.
Ottawa has gone bonkers for Bodker.
Don't say nothing.
I'm saying nothing. Yeah, I traded away a top scorer and
notorious back checker.
Yeah. So to me, this is, like I said, he's got a piece of paper. Clearly he's been told what the questions are. But that one, the way he just kind of threw it off the cuff, what's the plan here? I don't know. To me, that's already.
Are you suggesting that he's saying, what's the plan for this interview? Yeah. Or are you suggesting, what's the plan
what
for
the hell
this
am
season?
I doing here, yeah. Eugene?
Can you throw me a lifeline, Eugene?
Well, I think there's a few things that we're hoping to accomplish. I think what our fans are looking forward to, and I'm looking forward to, is a season that's like fresh and brand new.
Again,
it's September, Eugene. It is fresh and new.
Except for on the roster where you'd actually care.
Something that we can look forward to with young players coming in. And I think we can gel them into something, you know, a very, very serious team. Much bigger than a lot of people, I think, believe. You know, right now, we're kind of in the dumpster, you know.
Where do I get my season tickets? We're in the dumpster. Oh, what do you do? Where's your PR crisis management?
Which is where all these little gifs of dumpster fires come from. Like, really?
That's how you wanted to lead off your speech to the fans as to why they should get excited, why they should be buying tickets. Last I heard, it's about a week ago now, they had sold 4,000 tickets to the home opener. Now, it was only this week that single game tickets went on sale. So I would, it's probably, you have 4,000 season ticket holders or package holders that have come to the first game. Wow. But that is horrendously low for this time of year when the game is like 3 weeks away.
Hmm. Well, as I said to you, to me...
It'll be fuller than that. I don't know if it'll sell out, right? But walk-ups, day-ups...
It will not sell out.
No, and it didn't last year.
Guaranteed. And that was with the Leafs in town, I think, last year, too.
That was 2 years ago with Austin Matthews his debut. But you'll be closer than that. It'll be 15,000 with day of. Everybody wants to go to the home opener.
I'm not sure.
No? Okay. But with a sales pitch, like, we're in the dumpster now.
Why
wouldn't you go?
I think, and again, after listening to this and watching it a couple times, I think there's a lot of it that you have to sort of search through the pile of poo to get the peanut.
Yeah.
I think what he's saying is in a lot of the prognostications and a lot of other people's opinions, we're nowhere. We're in the dumpster.
I think that's where it started.
They're going to be surprised.
We can do better than people think. We're going to be a much more serious team than people think. I was with them there. You have to say that sort of stuff.
Yep.
But then it's him that kind of comes back with, you know, we're kind of in the dumpster right now. Like, to me, that's his.
Agreed. The guy's a buffoon. Right.
Everybody says, they're not going to do anything. Yeah. And I don't believe that. I think that, with character in a dressing room and people working very, very hard, we can accomplish more than a lot of people believe. Yeah. And it's, a lot of people said things in the last year.
So let's stop there for a second because I know he's about to go into something else. But to me, and this isn't just a Senators thing, that is such a hockey trope. The Leafs did it for a decade. The team's clearly going to be bullshit. But, we got a lot of character in the room. We got a lot of good leaders. You talk about that stuff because you feel like it's something you can control while you can't control what the other team is about to physically do to you.
Right? Smash you.
Right.
And you want to talk about leadership. What's happened to the leadership? Hoffman was not a leader.
Right.
The guys you had in here.
Turris was a leader.
Right. Okay. But you also look at the leadership last year, whether it's experienced guys like Burrows and Aduya who aren't here, your actual captain like Carlson, Stone, these sorts of guys. It was a shit show last year, and all those guys are still here. That is your leadership. Hoffman was not what you would call a leader.
Right.
And nobody could get a grasp or control. Even your calm and cool, easygoing, low-reacting goaltender, who's been around for a bunch of years, even he's like, this is a shit show. I want to get out of here.
Yeah, until today.
Yeah, okay.
Today, the golf tournament or whatever, he said, no, this is where I want to be. I'm really excited. There'll be some new energy around it. And, I mean, he's still here, so he's kind of got to, but...
Right, but 2 weeks, 2 weeks ago he said, I want to be here. I love Ottawa. Right. He said, but I don't want to deal with the bullshit drama that went on last year, right? Which is
that's
why,
fair.
Yeah, of course it is. But again, don't lob that bomb out there and then don't respond. Just say, I'd like to be traded, please. get a sub 900 save percentage and you're making 4.5 over the next two seasons. We can't trade you. Don't throw that shit out in the media.
If you're handing out flights out here, I wouldn't mind one.
And if you could put me somewhere in southern Florida, that would be perfect.
All right.
I think when I signed up for an owner, I really didn't expect going through something like we did last year.
You caused most of it.
It was a tough, tough year for us everywhere, in the offices, on the ice, and now we're starting off fresh. A lot of things have been changed. And I think that this year is going to become one of those watershed years for us.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, we're pretty excited, I think.
How's the dressing room?
You know what? I think that was kind of a question that I was going to ask you, too.
I don't get that. Not for 1 second. What the hell what is Boro doing there?
I was going to ask you. Yeah, what have you done to our dressing room?
Yeah. Well, okay. And I get it, right? When Melnick's saying, what's the temperature like, right? Yeah. What are the guys feeling, right?
That,
if that's your conversation, and then Boro is going to flip it around to him and say, I don't know, what do you think?
Tell me. Well, he's probably looking at his piece of paper. I didn't know you were going to ask me that. What am I supposed to say here?
That question's not here. Yeah, that was a question I was going to ask you. It's like when somebody says, asks you how you're doing, you say, good, how about you?
Yeah.
And they say, good, how about you? And I'm like,
we already did this.
It's awkward, man. I already, like, oh, yeah. Sorry about that.
Yeah. No, it was.
You know, we've got some characters in there. It's professional hockey. You know, there's a lot of unique unique personalities, unique people, strong personalities.
See, that's where I should have stopped it. I should have. He doesn't say we have a lot of character in there. He says we have a lot of characters in there. Well,
if you've watched Pulp Fiction, that's what he says. Just because you are a character doesn't mean you have character.
Yeah. No, to me, that was a strange question. And even giving Eugene Melnick the benefit of the doubt and everything, I don't know. When we left, the room was in shambles, and now we've been apart for 4 months. We haven't been in the room again. I have no idea what the room's going to be like, man. You didn't make any moves that you said you were going to.
No Hoffman and his crazy wife. It's going to be Shangri-La, mofo.
I think we need to find a way to gel, to kind of make some chemistry, you know, to really be together and come together. And, you know, we obviously need help with that.
Right.
That was a key thing for me.
That we need help with that.
Are you going to do anything here? Are you going to help us get something into this room? Are you going to
remove something from this room?
There you go. There's another spin on it.
See, to me, there's more unsaid in this interview than there is said.
Like, I don't think he's intentionally throwing it out like, help us do something. Like, this isn't a real interview, a real whatever.
Right.
But I think, the way that was kind of phrased sort of awkwardly lets out this whole thing is awkward. It's just the only way this could have been more awkward is if Randy Lee was standing behind Borowiecki rubbing his shoulders through the entire interview. While the Hoffman's sitting in the corner posting on his social media.
Yes. working the phone vigorously. Good one, Matt.
That's literally the only way this could have been more awkward. Fuck. No. We need help with that.
Well, that's what he said. When you go with characters, strong opinions, and we need help with this.
Yeah.
All right. So to me, that speaks to subtraction more than
addition. Okay.
You know, we want some outside influences and resources and, you know, what's your...
Well, we're going to give everything we got. You know, a lot of people, some people were talking in town that, he may move the team. Let me tell you something.
It was you! Honestly, and if you see the video, he's saying it. Like, you can hear it in his voice, but looking at him, he's like, I don't know what these crazy... Stop talking about this, people. What are these people talking about? And you're like, you fucking said that. That comes from you.
This never came up until the outdoor game last year when you stood there and said, if it doesn't go great here, it'll look really nice somewhere else. Those are your words from the outdoor game. Ruined that for the fans. And now all of a sudden, people keep talking that it might move. It's not going to move.
I do believe I've set my pants on fire.
First things first is I'm going to stick around here for a long, long time.
Shit.
Okay? I'm not going anywhere.
Come on!
And number two, the franchise is not going anywhere.
Well,
that's totally solid. So everybody can kind of focus, get rid of the noise. What you try to do is to ensure that you've got some veterans in the room. And that's who everybody kind of counts on.
You're going to want to remember that line. Make sure there's veterans in the room.
And Boro, who's been around for a while, going, all right.
Yeah, this sounds good.
Yep. I can do this, yeah.
Yep.
Guys like you, and to guys take like these me. Young players under the wing. You know, you remember what it was like when you got into the league and you're a rookie and you're kind of like bumping into the wrong walls. And
that's a weird thing to say.
Hey, and what walls do I want to bump into? Not just the wrong ones. What are the good ones to bump into?
Oh, rookies all over the arena just bumping into walls. It's just strange at camp.
You need the veterans, especially when you start getting real competitive and you start moving into the playoffs. These kids don't know anything about playoffs.
Yeah.
They're just happy as clams just to be in the NHL.
Yeah.
That they made the team. Now all of a sudden they're asked to perform, so they need to. They're going to need that direction, and I think that actually bonds people together. I think the team as a whole.
I think that's a good point. You know, I know in my first bit of time being called up and down, not only was I not comfortable on the ice, but I wasn't even comfortable in my own skin off the ice.
Yeah.
And having older guys who were approachable, who wanted to talk to me.
hey, kid, stop bumping into the walls.
Yeah. So far, this is the most lucid part of the conversation.
You know, want to spend time with me. It makes a huge difference.
Yeah.
I think if we find that balance, it's going to be big for us.
Well, it's going to be important for the team as a group, yeah. You know, to make sure that everybody gels together. And then, you know, you cry together and you...
Oh, there'll be some crying.
You laugh together and you celebrate together. And that's all part of being a team and not, you know, playing as an individual.
What's going to be different about our rebuild?
I think...
Okay. Is this... Because he's about to answer and tell him what's going to be different about... Is this the first time they have publicly said, yes, this is a rebuild?
Yep. Okay, so, these fuckers, for lack of a better, 10 months ago made a, we're going for it, Stanley Cup trade, bringing in Matt Duchene.
Yep.
Then the season went to pot, and then in their town forum, town hall meetings, they said, yeah, no, this will be a retool,
right.
Not a rebuild.
Right.
This is the first time... anybody has ever used the word rebuild.
And we've beaten it to death, so this isn't supposed to be a shot. But if you don't trade your first round picks,
well, wait
if
for
it's
that.
A rebuild.
Wait for that. That's coming up here in a bit.
Right. But this is a big thing for them to have publicly said now that, yes, this is a rebuild. As you said, we're 10 months removed from a we're going for it trade.
And so do you want the person rebuilding your team who said, we're going for it to 10 months ago? Like, what the hell is going on here? And if they can't trade any of those guys, and they're all here, and let's just say everybody has a 10% better season than last year, which can't be hard.
Right.
Right? And they're doing fine, and they're fifth in the conference in a month.
Right.
Does somebody go, oh, fuck it.
We're going for it.
Yeah, this is it, man. The rebuild is off. Like, I have no faith in these guys that anybody can stick to any game plan. Going for it, retool, rebuild. That's not even a calendar year. And now you're saying, like, I got no idea what's happening here, and I have no faith in any of these people.
At this point, I think we've got the base. That's what's crazy.
You don't?
Well,
not yet.
And here's the deal. If you have a base, to me, you rebuild when you have no pieces.
Yeah.
Right? So to me, you go, do you have a number one center? I think Matt Duchene's a number one center.
Sure.
Do you have a number one defenseman? I think Erik Karlsson's a number one defenseman. You're like, well, that's not a rebuild. Those are fucking pieces. Oh, wait, you're going to trade those and then rebuild.
Right.
Well, and maybe trade one of the best two-way forwards in the league in Mark Stone.
Yeah. And even if we acknowledge that all that is done, like they are going to trade all those guys. Look, Tkachuk looks like useful NHL player, probably a couple years away, but that's what happens in a rebuild. It takes a little time.
Yep.
Shabbat looks like pretty good, you know, whatever. We'll see what Logan Brown's going to be. This will be a big year for him. Colin White, same thing. Are you confident that that's your base, that you're done bottoming out and now it's time to ascend with that as the core? There's pieces there. To me, that's not enough to be...
No, to me, I love those pieces.
Oh, sure.
With the pieces we already have.
Yes, but if all those are gone,
yeah, no,
and those are the guys that are going to carry the mail, you have to be bottomed out a little.
No,
longer.
I want my prime juicy number one pick next year. Oh wait, he's in Colorado. Fuck.
Critical. You've got, I think, the team that we now have just now, without all the additions, is a team that or leadership that really believes in the total team. It's not about individuals anymore. Because you're not going to win. One player, two players, three players.
One player, two player, three player. Erik Karlsson, Matt Duchene, Mark Stone.
Yes.
They're not going to win. They're gone. And even he said, before all the additions, where are they coming from? Okay, I think we can start to piece all this together.
Well, but to me, I think he's talking about the Bathursons, the Formantons, the Browns, the...
Sure, the Whites.
That's what he's talking about.
Okay.
The additions.
Yeah. Well, it's hard to follow this wobbling down the road.
All right, and it is, too, when he talks about draft picks later, and you're like, are you foreshadowing here, or is something already done and you just haven't, it hasn't happened yet?
Yeah.
In the dressing room are not going to do it. You need the leadership, and then you build under that. And we're going to build that with young prospects that are now coming through. And the picks, we're loaded up now with draft picks for the next 4, 5, 6 years.
You've traded your number one pick this year, and you have two over the bare minimum over the next 3 years.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. So to me, you're like, have they already traded a couple guys,
right,
and they just haven't released that yet, and we got a boatload of picks coming back? Because
apropos of nothing, today on Leafs Lunch, Gord Miller received a text message, wouldn't say from who, said it was an NHL GM that was asking him, because he was standing there in TSN's radio station, Carlson traded? So he immediately starts checking his emails and working his phone to see if something had happened, and it turns out it hadn't. We would have obviously heard by now.
For sure.
Although I'm, you know, we're 4 hours removed from that, and all afternoon there's been weird things might be happening there. I'm fairly certain he gets dealt as soon as we post this. That's sort of how these things work. But
it's all right. This is worth a listen.
But your point being that maybe it's already done. They kind of already know what's coming back for one or two of these guys, and it just hasn't been announced yet. Get through the golf tournament, because those have been a disaster for a lot of teams.
For sure. Because, yeah, right now, yeah, you do have two over the minimum, and you're missing the biggest piece.
Yeah.
And then 2 years out, you're missing the three, and you just, yeah, it's like, what the fuck?
But right now, I think you would be very excited, and you've seen some of them already.
Yeah. You know, I've had a chance to interact with them. I saw them before they went up to rookie tournament.
Right.
We skated with them. There's some good kids.
Some,
you know,
serious
high-end talent, yeah, but they're great, yeah, guys off the ice. And, you know, I think we're in for something special when a lot of these guys are ready to play.
Well, that's what our rebuild's going to be. It is kind of a cliche kind of term, yeah, but we take it seriously. You know, I think this coming year we're going to have 10 out of the 22 players are going to be new, meaning they're either rookies or they've played maybe under 10 games last year. Yeah.
The maximum, or the league record for most rookies to ever start an NHL season, were the 1980 Edmonton Oilers. It was literally their first year in the league, and they had 7. So
let it play out. Just another.
And then the following year, it's going to go up to about 15 of the 22.
What? Like, to me, that's the most asinine thing.
How about the guy sitting right beside him, your number 6 veteran defenseman, going, oh, I'm not going to survive that.
Yeah. Yeah,
15
no.
15 new guys. I won't be one still here.
On the radio this morning here, they had Chris Stevenson, who writes for The Athletic.
Yeah.
He was on, and they played Senators Survivor. And so they had the music.
Mark Borowiecki was not the winner of Senators.
He was not. And so they said, you can only end up with 6 or 7 guys, okay, from this roster that make it, right? And so you had to go through the goalies and the D and the forwards. And you're like, and at the end, they're like, do you like the 6 or 7 guys you've kept? And he's like, no, of course I don't like them, but it's there. There you go.
Bobby Ryan.
Okay, and it is, because he's got 4 years at 7.25,
yeah,
left.
Yeah.
Right? It was Condon. It was Harper.
Oh,
it was,
no,
Shabbat.
Okay.
But there's 3,
yeah,
right there. Right?
Yeah.
And you're like, I think he had Magnus Pajärvi in there due to his serviceability. Right? Bobby Ryan, and I can't remember who the other guy was. Colin White.
Sure.
But you're like,
this stinks.
Well, and don't throw numbers out, because people are looking at it and going,
you're the owner. That's up to the coach. That's up to the GM. Shut up. Like, you,
yes,
idiot. No,
yes,
one turns and over. Like, even, not to make this about old Bluey, but there was a huge amount of talk 2 years ago with how many rookies they were bringing in. No one, 10, 15 a year later, come on. There's no chance. No one's system can.
Yeah.
You just sound stupid.
Well, and really, to me, the whole thing is, yeah, okay, if he's leaning towards hyperbole, totally fine, right?
Doesn't,
whatever,
sound like it.
Okay, but then everything else you say has to be looked at in the same way,
yeah,
right? Okay, if you're exaggerating here, are you exaggerating there,
right,
or all the time? Or is there just a good chance you don't know what you're talking about?
Like, and this is just the audio. People, go watch the video. It's uncomfortable. But when you listen to it, it feels like kind of yuck, yuck. There should be, like, every now and then, Melnick's giving him the little elbow, right? Like you're saying, that we're kind of kidding here. This is kind of tongue-in-cheek. It's not. This is what he's standing here saying.
No,
but,
no.
The audio, I know what you're saying, but the audio makes it sound like this should be,
yeah,
it was meant for humor.
See,
that's not what they put it out for.
The thing is, if you just flew in a hockey fan from somewhere else and they've never heard anything from this guy or anything about him, and you listen to him and you go, all right, he's sort of working his way through something here, and he means business. He wants to make some changes.
Yeah.
But then you look at, you know, and contrast it with everything else he's ever said, the guy doesn't know what he's talking about.
Right.
He constantly contradicts himself, and you just think, don't talk. Don't talk.
And that was the thing on Monday. I was seeing Sen's Twitter, half of them before they'd even watched it, going, oh, God. Like, please no. No more of this. Yeah. Anytime you talk, it's horrible. Now this is an entire video designed to woo me based on your charm.
You got no chance.
Maybe 16. So that's a total turnover, you know, which is what exactly should...
Borowiecki knows turnovers.
Be in a rebuild.
For sure. And those fresh faces, I mean, they bring energy.
Yeah, I know.
You know what, for a guy like me, who in the hockey world's a little bit older, you know, it gives me so much energy, and, you know, I'm excited to come to the rink when those guys are...
You're excited because they're excited.
100%. Right. You know, I'm excited to be with them, to hang out with them, to play with them. And I think it goes a long way for everyone.
So you get excited because they're excited, gets me excited, gets all of our fans excited, and our sponsors. So it's going to work out, I think.
That's like that whole Eddie Murphy skit where he's like, I know that you know that I know that you know that you want to fuck me in the ass. You're like, what? And he goes, he hits it again here in a second. It's important that I know that they know that we know that they know that we know what we're doing. Like, shut up.
And then, so it'll work out. Like, we're excited. We got good character. It'll work out.
Keep hoping.
This plan is pretty loose to be assuming it'll all just work out.
Like stool.
Well, yeah, like this stool.
I think we're looking forward to a great, great coming year. I really think that the fans are going to be supportive. We got some great fans. These are great.
Less than you did.
The same ones that are putting up billboards saying, get your ass out of town.
Great hockey.
Leave your team.
Yeah. The ones that are still here are great fans. Let's be the ones that have stuck around through all of this, to be fair, are awesome fans.
Well, it's like, I almost take it as like a, it's like a challenge.
How much can I endure?
Do you want to leave? You don't want to really be a fan, do you? You don't want to support this shit show.
Fans, great sponsors, and we just got to give them the hope that they know that we know what we're doing, and that translates into the team knowing what they're doing and putting some wins together.
I agree.
Shooting for the Stanley Cup.
Yeah, love it.
No less.
It's awesome.
All right. Listen, thanks very much.
Thank you.
Shooting for the Stanley Cup. When?
Nothing less.
Honestly.
It's going to be a great season.
Okay, and here's the thing. We've all been clamoring. There's been the absolute cone of silence over, you know, hockey ops for this team all summer, right? No idea, no movement.
Right.
There's been nothing, right? And so people have been clamoring. Well, what is your plan? What are you doing? You hear nothing.
Right.
So then somebody hatches his plan. And as you suggest, whether it's his idea or whether marketing came up with it and he went, yeah, that's great. I'm going to do it. And they're like, no.
Should be anyone but you
right now.
It
should be maybe the GM and maybe an impartial, maybe.
Ian Mendez.
Yeah, I was just going to say, even if you went with somebody in the local media, because all this does is it leaves, as we've sort of pot-shotted it through it.
Yeah.
All kinds of follow-up questions that beg to be asked that Boro's not going to ask.
Right. Was this supposed to be serious? Because when you use your own player, no one can take it serious. Was it supposed to be a joke? It wasn't lighthearted enough to be a joke. What was this? What are you doing?
So to me, this again is classic Senators. You've missed the mark, right? You want to do this to soothe the savage beast, right?
Yeah.
When really all you've done is fucking riled everybody up more.
Yeah.
Like, it's like you can, it's like you have, well, I said tone deaf. You have no idea what's happening. What are you doing?
Now, they did say today they've dropped the price of parking from $15 to $12.
How about free? Free.
And they're going to have their first furry friends night. I don't know if you're going to be able
to bring pets. I don't want $1 hot dogs on Throwback Thursday. Right. I want free parking, mofo. In that huge cornfield outside your stadium.
Yeah.
God damn it. You really, with the 4,000 people who are going to be coming, you should make parking $45 to make up for
and
all
even
those
half
tickets.
Of those are taking
you're
the
not selling. Yeah, well, for sure. for sure. So,
oh my God.
Yeah.
This was, I'm looking at it and I shared it on our Twitter and I'm going through, and I don't have a whole lot to say about it. I posted a little Simpsons quote that is Barney Gumble saying to Monty Burns, "Hey, aren't you that guy everybody hates?" "Oh no, I'm Monty Burns." Oh.
Yeah. Okay, clearly. Yeah, see, that actually is perfect.
Yes.
Because that's...
But everybody else is... I'm watching Sens fans that are just clearly beaten down and clearly... I do think sometimes, from time to time, there are some Sens fans who choose to blame him for literally everything.
Sure.
This is exactly why that happens.
Well,
just go into camp quietly, let your coach and your GM... run things. There was no reason for this. It right. did nothing.
You don't need the owner to be weighing in on all these sorts of hockey
right.
op stuff. Right.
This is why you pay people you start, poorly for.
This is it. And you start talking about draft picks and roster spots and all these sorts of things.
Yeah.
And you're like, man, leave that alone. Don't do these things. So like I said, I don't mind the idea if it could have been better crafted
yeah.
and had your GM, and as I said, and I love the idea of Ian Mendez. He's yeah. the perfect choice.
Right.
Right.
And if you're going to do it with one of your guys, if you want to keep Borowiecki, I still wouldn't have Melnyk, but it needs to be much more lighthearted than this. It couldn't have been serious. If you're going to use your own guy, because you know no one will take it seriously if you use your own guy, then make it more fun. Right, make it some sort of tongue-in-cheek. These are the stupid questions the media always ask.
Right,
here's one outrageous answer. Here's one, you know, we'll give it 110%. Get pucks in deep, kind of answer.
Is that your Babcock imitation?
He's gonna get good opportunity. Yeah. He's a good player.
You don't go to feed the bull with the red cape.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like that's what this is.
Yeah.
You want to go and you want to talk to the fans, but then you're gonna trot out this fat
yeah.
head. You're like. And everyone already just starts to go, I don't even hear what he's saying.
Yeah.
I hate that guy and he's an idiot.
Yeah. I guess we can move on to some other stuff. We'll share this at Tall Can Audio on Twitter, facebook.com/TallCanAudio. If you haven't seen it, it's quite something.
It's quite something. Breathtaking, really, in its disastrous nature.
The Habs this week finally dealt... Max Pacioretty. We talked a little a while ago whether or not we are on the verge of seeing Carlson. I think we've talked about both these guys that both teams would have loved to have seen this done before camp. The Habs get that done. Trade him to Vegas for Nick Suzuki, a second round pick, and Tomas Tatar. Tomas Tatar was only in Vegas for a short time, came in the trade deadline last year. Vegas gave up a first, a second, and a third to get him.
Steep.
Only potted four goals down the stretch, and by the time the playoffs rolled around, he wasn't even in their starting lineup.
He played eight games in the playoffs
yeah.
and had 2 points.
Right. By the final, they were choosing to play Ryan Reeves over him. So that's about all you need to know about his fit, anyway, in Vegas. Maybe it will be better in Montreal. He has scored, 25 goals before here and there.
He seems to be a perennial 20-goal scorer if
yeah.
you look at it. He's had a 25 and he's had a 22,
yeah.
right? But he had between the two stops last year, he had 20 goals. But still, only...
Like you say, 16 of those in Detroit.
And four in Vegas.
Yeah.
And only 30 points. Like, he's 20 goals, 10 yeah. assists kind of guy.
Right.
On the smallish side, yeah. I don't love him, really, in terms of...
I don't like this deal for either team.
Well, as I see, when you and I talked about it when it happened, to me, I think, yeah, Montreal sort of going in. Tatar will be a serviceable sort of second line guy.
Yeah.
I think you're hoping on Nick Suzuki, back to back.
Not this year.
No. But I mean, in terms of making this deal work.
Right.
Back to back 100 point seasons in Owen Sound, I believe.
Yep.
Right. And that's second and see what you can get from that. On the other side, I look at George McPhee and what Vegas is doing and go, you've essentially traded 2 firsts, 2 seconds, a third
yeah.
for
Max Pacioretty.
eight games of Tatar in the playoffs and Max Pacioretty.
Yeah. Oops.
Like, if you went and said, yeah, how about 2 firsts, 2 seconds, and a third for Max Pacioretty?
Yeah.
You'd be like, you're fucking drunk. Put down the pipe, son.
There is a chance of, can't be any worse than 50-50, that Vegas falls flat on their face this year. I don't expect them to be a last place team. That's a bad division they're in. And
right, and I forgot about Stastny. He went, yep. You went there?
Yep. But William Karlsson is not scoring 40 again. Will he score 30? Maybe.
Well, I think I'm on record on this show of saying 20 to 25.
Okay. Which would still be a gigantic increase over the, six he had the year before.
Six and nine his 2 years in Columbus.
Nice. I don't expect that, but that's a possibility. And you have traded a ton to pretend, in my mind, that you are a contender who's on the cusp. Now, you just lost in the cup final, so it's certainly fair to say you have a shot at the cup, because you proved literally everybody has a shot at the cup. But you're not acting like an expansion team. And for all this success and everything that's come...
I think their expansion label went out the window when they... Okay, when their division.
But how old's Marc-Andre Fleury?
Yeah.
How old's Paul Stastny?
I was just going to say, yeah. more than Pacioretty and Karlsson and Stastny, what's Fleury going to give you this year?
Right.
There's no chance he's as good as he was last year.
No, because those numbers would have been unsustainable for anybody.
Well, and he is what?
He's in mid-30s now.
Yeah, I was going
to say. I get it. They don't want to be thought of as an expansion team, but you could be very close to regressing to being much closer to that than you think. And you're going to wish you still had some of those picks and some of those young guys, right? And Nick Suzuki, most people seem to think, was their third best prospect behind Erik Brännström there, the defenseman who everybody's very high on right now going into camp. And then
Glass.
Cody Glass, that's right, is the other one.
I was going to say Tanner Glass again.
Yeah, you could trade him.
Yeah. But Glass, yeah, Cody Glass.
Right. So it's not like you gave up your best prospects, but you have now, like you said, given up a first with him. And for Vegas, I don't know.
A second.
I don't like it. And for Montreal, you've now traded. They're going to score like 6 goals this season. You've traded you could not score last year, and you turned around this summer and traded your 2 leading goal scorers. And everyone's... wanting to, well, that's what happened.
I know, man. I'm only laughing because, hey, man, it sucks to be them too.
Yeah, for sure. I lost my train of thought. But like, this is a terrible, terrible approach. And everyone, there it is. Everyone's looking to say that, you know, given the circumstances, they did okay on this deal, and that's probably true. But you created those circumstances. You painted yourself into that corner with the way you handled this guy. He wanted to stay. A perennial, you know, right around 30 goals. I know we had a terrible year last year, but so did everyone in Montreal.
I was going to say, who did not?
And yeah. You've now traded Galchenyuk, Pacioretty, Subban, and Sergachev, and still not gotten a center you can use right now.
Right. And they keep saying Suzuki is... can play some center.
Sure.
But not
in a month.
Yeah. Well, and really, to me, that's not it. You know, you look at on HockeyDB, they have him listed as a right winger, I think.
Yeah.
So, great. Yeah, he can play.
Like Drouin.
But
we think he can.
Yeah.
It's not. We wish he wasn't.
Like Galchenyuk or, right. You know, like whatever else you got there.
Right.
We're going to force
him. We'll draft him with a second.
Yes.
That'll be our new center.
Yes. And so, I think... Now, if you look at the four, this is now the fourth big trade Bergevin's made,
yep.
Right? If you go back to the Subban Weber and you go back to the Drouin Sergachev and you go to the Domi Galchenyuk, and now you have, I think this is probably the closest one Bergevin's coming to saw it off,
right.
Only because I think it's terrible for McPhee on the whole, right? In terms of the Tatar component from Detroit, you know, blah, 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 what did he give up? But there's a legitimate chance he could have lost all four of those.
Yep. And that's it. Like, I'm not standing here saying that either of these guys got fleeced. I'm looking at it going, I don't see the fit for either team. I don't know what you were doing here.
Well, if Pacioretty rolls in there and scores 25 goals,
yeah,
good to go.
I do wonder, you gave up a second and Suzuki... and what else went? Oh, Tatar. That wasn't going to matter much. Is that Vegas pulling out of their interest in Karlsson? would those have been pieces that...
Yeah, see, I think they still have around $10
million. Yep.
Right? But yeah, something else is going to have to go with that. And they now... Yeah, they're...
I just mean in terms of what they would have sent to Ottawa in an Eric Carlson.
For sure, right? They are now starting to become more depleted in terms of their assets and picks.
Yep. So you wonder if that's not a... You know, did they get tired of waiting on that, or do they still think they could...
Yeah, well, George McPhee is a notorious hothead, right? He's one of those guys who's going to phone you and say, fucking take it. Nope. Click. Like, I don't think there's a lot of dicking around with George McPhee.
Right.
Right? He's a bit of a...
Well, he's telling you to fucking take it.
Yeah. Oh, take it. Donkey
no
punch.
No dicking around.
Yes. There's a big donkey punch for you.
There's a big donkey punch for you.
Right there.
Before we move off this, well, it's kind of moving off of this. Today, on this day in 2006, the New York Islanders sign a 15-year contract.
With Rick DiPietro?
Rick DiPietro.
Wow. And honestly, in 2006?
Yep.
Are they still paying him now?
Yep, because they bought him out.
And they bought him out, so they must be paying him to like 2030.
He will be... When he comes off the books, Austin Matthews will be 32 years old, was the tweet I saw today. And he's 20 right
Sweet
now.
Sweet fuck. Because I know he's
still...
I know he's doing...
Yeah, he's on TV.
And he's on ESPN, right? Like he does... Or Fox Sports, one of the two.
NBC or one of them, I don't know.
Well, yeah. I hear him doing a radio show.
Okay. Yeah, and I don't know. I know he's in the media down there.
And he's sort of the lone hockey guy on it. I'm like, what? It's like a... I'm like, who is that? And then you listen to it longer and you're like... That's Rick DiPietro.
Whose favorite player growing up was...
Himself.
Rick DiPietro.
Yeah. Who is the greatest goalie you've ever seen, is the question put to him. And he's like, yeah, Rick DiPietro.
Gotta be me, man.
Wow.
Good for you, buddy.
Where's the wheelbarrow to carry your nutsack around?
I don't want to... I guess, you know, we'll wait on Carlson for a couple days just because, like...
Well, as you said, that'll happen between now and the release of the show, so just...
Yeah, let's just leave her alone for now and we'll come back to it.
We'll pick up the pieces afterwards.
Josh Donaldson, as we've talked about before, gets traded by the Jays to Cleveland under fairly cloudy circumstances.
Dubious
circumstances. That's a nice word, man. Word of the day, toilet paper. Apparently, according to Ken Rosenthal in The Athletic, the Yankees and the Red Sox and a couple other teams...
Astros.
...phoned the MLB offices saying, what are we doing here? Because you're not allowed to...
Not just what are we doing, what are they doing?
Right. More importantly, you're not allowed to put a guy on waivers who is injured, which the Blue Jays had to do to get Josh Donaldson to be trade eligible. And you're not allowed to trade a guy who is injured, which they obviously just traded him. So the question becomes...
And if so, Cleveland can't activate him before September 1st, which makes him ineligible for postseason rosters.
Yes. So that's right. You could have traded him, but he couldn't have played in the playoffs.
Correct.
If you hadn't got it done
before. So obviously that September 1st deadline...
was pretty big.
Looming.
So what happens is Josh Donaldson... starts playing rehab games 3 days before that deadline. He plays one game, plays five innings, which was all that was scheduled, and takes himself out. He then says, I'm feeling a little sore. I'm not going to play on this next one. And then that game ends up getting rained out anyway. So we don't know whether or not he would have ended up sitting out or not. And then he plays in the final one on the 30th of August, which allows the Blue Jays to say, see, two rehab games. He's good to go. On to waivers. And Cleveland claims him. Or no one claims him, which means the Jays can trade him to Cleveland. Cleveland then turns around and plunks him back on the DL.
Burl.
Which has got everybody's eyebrows up going, well, wait. If he...
Is he injured or is he not?
Right. And so...
Send him back.
The Yankees and the Red Sox, like neither of those teams had a place for him to play anyway, but they didn't want to see him go to Cleveland in case he does get healthy and start raking in the
playoffs.
Nothing
that I've read has it said, yeah, we wanted him.
Right.
Right. It's all about, you can't do that.
You can't have him. And right. Then, do they have a point?
For sure they do.
Okay.
Absolutely. And to me, it's shenanigans big time.
Right.
Right. I think MLB has sort of been caught with their finger in their own ass. Like,
oh, you hate when that happens.
I do. I don't mind doing it, but I hate being caught. You sort of go, what? They got to send. They should have just said, no, can't do it. Once Cleveland automatically put him on the DL, you know, you got to say, okay, you know what? Clearly he wasn't healthy. I don't know how he passed the physical or whatever happened. He's got to go back void.
Well, and part of it is the player, right? He has to say, yeah, I'm good to go. Now, I was listening and I was reading, I think it was Stephen Brunt, who said this had gotten worse. The relationship between the Blue Jays and Blue Jays management had gotten worse than most people realize. And that
between
maybe
Donaldson and the Blue Jays management?
Yeah.
Yeah.
What did I say? Sorry.
And Blue Jays and the Blue Jays management.
Yeah, that's not a good sentence. Between Donaldson and Blue Jays management, and that his thing there on the second last game that ended up getting rained out when he said, I'm not going to play, was him one last time giving the Jays a bit of a kick, saying, yeah, I'll let you know if I'm ready to do this maybe tomorrow.
Yeah.
I know you're coming down to the wire, but I don't really fucking care. And
right, because he's saying, they're saying, you're ready to play.
Yeah, you're going.
And he's saying, I'm not ready to play.
I haven't decided yet if I'm ready to play, right? And he's, you know, maybe he's ready to go to Cleveland. Maybe he's not. Maybe he wants to stay and finish out the year, all these sorts of things. We don't really know. But that second last game that ended up getting rained out, that middle game, was apparently, according to some reports, him sticking it to the Jays a bit.
Sticking it to the man. Yeah, to me. And they batted him in the fifth spot last night.
Yeah.
Two nights ago by the time you find people hear this. Encarnacion in the four hole. Donaldson in the five. Apparently flashed a little leather, made a nice play at third.
I saw that, yeah. I didn't see how he did at the plate.
Over.
Probably should have seen that coming.
Yep.
Well, he hasn't played since May 28th.
Yeah, so it was a 2-0 Cleveland win.
Right.
Encarnacion hitting his 30th of the season. Got the paired out.
Edwin.
Oh, double E.
Miss you, bud.
Yeah, sort of. Not really. I miss all those post-game interviews that you never did. Because you can't speak English, but that's okay. I like the parrot. I like all that. It's good. Yeah. You had a friendly smiley face.
Okay. Just gonna let you go there for a while. I don't know what to. I guess it doesn't matter now. I do think in the off season, there will be some explosive interview somewhere where he says his side of it. The Blue Jays are only going to do.
Well, yeah, he already went out. He did his little rounds where he complained about not wanting to go and liking his time and him being a cornerstone and yada, yada, yada. Okay, you know what? You haven't played hardly in the last two seasons. Get out. Get lost. We can't trade you for anything. There's just Merriweather or whatever that guy's name is. Yep. And you're like, God.
Enjoy your Tommy John rehab.
Yeah,
we'll
enjoy your Tommy John, perhaps. Right? And you sort of go, God damn it.
Yeah.
I don't care about you now, Josh Donaldson. Get out. You're dead to me.
But it's a little shady the way it all went down.
For sure it is.
And I like to see people stick it to the Yanks and the Red Sox, but it's not like they don't have a point here that says.
Well, I want to see us benefit from sticking it to them too, and I'm not sure that's happening here. That's, to me, it's our two Cleveland guys giving it to two Cleveland guys, and you're sort of like,
hey. Hey.
Yeah.
Stop that.
Yeah. We're not. Well, once we become Cleveland's farm system, then we're fucked. Big time.
I wanted to touch on one last thing. They've shut down Stroman for the year. Sanchez has now missed basically two seasons.
Yep.
Would you be looking to deal either one of those in the off season? Or, I mean, you're selling low, but I think they're expecting next year Reed Foley to be in the Sean Reed Foley to be in the rotation. Obviously, it looks like Matt Borucki's going to be in the rotation.
I like that kid.
Yeah. Borucki.
Yep. Borucki.
There's a shot that Pannone might be. You know, there's a lot of guys here, but you're selling these two low, and when they're on, which they haven't been much lately, they're still good. They don't cost a lot yet, but you are getting to the point where it's going to start to creep up on you.
Well, we are at a point where it's costing us because they're holding down roster spots and not doing anything.
Sanchez is the interesting one to me because he's spent basically the last 2 years staring at his finger, right? Like, people forget that in 2016 when they did that thing, like 2015, he was the setup man for Osuna.
Yep. Yep.
2016, he wants to start, but they're super worried about how many innings he's going to. So when they pick up Lariano at the deadline, it becomes the six-man rotation, and we pick his spots kind of and manage to get him through to the playoffs. He went 16-3. Yeah. Had an ERA like 3. It was unreal season.
And everyone's saying, why doesn't he pitch more?
Yeah. We don't want the 6-man rotation. I want to see fucking Aaron Sanchez. Well,
we don't
want
to see Frankie Liriano. We want to see Sanchez.
Yeah. So there's a lot there. And he's going into that offseason feeling like I'm on the verge of becoming one of those guys. When you picture a top-end starting pitcher, he looks like Aaron Sanchez. He goes out, he has the fingernail thing, and he's got the blister thing. And the thing that makes me hesitant to want to make any kind of move on him is he has had, for all the time he's missed, no elbow trouble, no shoulder trouble, no back, no arm. It's this fucking little
blister.
And I mean, it tore up Al Leiter's time in Toronto, and then he went on and had a good career after that or whatever. But I'm not ready to give up on that guy because...
Did Al Leiter win a World Series with the Marlins?
I don't remember. I think so.
Vague, fuzzy memory.
Indians. I think so.
Okay.
I could be wrong, but...
So could I.
Yeah.
That's new to this show.
Sure. Stroman, on the other hand...
I'm flipping Stroman of the two, and I'm entertaining offers on Sanchez. But I'd flip Stroman.
I just wonder if he's still... You love him or you hate him, but if he's a fit for what you're about to do to this... clubhouse. It's about to get really young. You know, do you want his...
salty, chippy personality?
Right. Which some guys love, right? A lot of guys think he's a really good teammate and whatever, but you're about to bring in a new manager, by all accounts. I don't know. Like, if you're going to move one of them, I can see why it might be that guy, but you're selling ultra low on both guys if you're looking to deal with
him. But to me, I look at him, again... not having, you know, he's having that sort of up and down the past two seasons,
yeah.
Injury problems, smaller guy.
Yep.
Maybe he gets his shit together. You know what I mean? Maybe he gets the mental side of the game because to me, I think when he's on, but he's got to cool his jets.
Yeah.
Hey, you, buddy, tough guy.
He's about to get expensive too.
Cool your jets. Because, yeah, I think he beats himself half the time.
Well, there is something to that.
Getting all fired up. Before he even gets out there, chip on his shoulder. And I think that only works for so long, right? I think that'll get you someplace.
Right.
It's not going to keep you there.
So you would, you're dealing Stroman and you'd listen on Sanchez.
Yep.
I think I got to give them each one more year. I got to hold on to them because they're young enough that as your kids start to come up and make their way into the system, you need some arms, right?
For sure you do.
And, our pitching prospects are more, we don't have a Vlad coming, on the pitching side. And maybe Sanchez could still pull that out.
Yeah, no, I agree with you. But we're now 2 years in and really 3 years in on Sanchez, right? He had that great season, but could only pitch what, they wanted to keep him under 200?
I think they wanted to keep him under 160, I think was the...
So... Whereas they had no such issue with Stroman at the time, and they're the same age, and I'm like, I got no idea what the deal is.
I think part of that was also that Stroman missed a bunch of time with the knee and whatever, so his arm would have healed, and I don't know. It was a bunch of crazy sports science bullshit that was going
on.
This
is what I'm saying, is he sort of go, it works for me, but not for him, and it works for those guys, but...
He's just a wee fella.
Yeah.
We should probably wrap this one up, man. We'll be back later in the week. We got a bunch of stuff to touch on. I'm really interested to get your opinion... on Serena and the blow up there last weekend. Camps will be open.
And I got lots of opinion on that.
Good. So do I. And that's why we're not doing it now because
we don't have time.
That's right. Camps will be open. We'll see who did and didn't report, who was and wasn't traded. Who's in the best shape of their life?
Me.
Oh, that's everybody.
Right here.
Everybody who shows up to camp.
Guns out, baby.
We'll wrap this one up. You can give us a follow on Twitter at TallCanAudio, Facebook.com/TallCanAudio. Hit the archives at TallCanAudio.com and we'll check you later.
See ya!
We're not gonna be fucking sunk this year! Yeah!
Thanks for listening. You can get more TCA at TallCanAudio.com or by searching TallCanAudio on your favorite podcast app.